Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew 7:13. This morning we've come to the final section of the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, chapter 7, verse 12 concluded the teaching portion of the sermon. Jesus has laid out what it means to follow him, what it means, what it looks like to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. And now here in verse 13 through the end of chapter 7, Christ is calling for a commitment. He's calling for a response. He's explained what it means to follow him. And now he's, as it were, putting the ball in the court of the hearers. He's calling for a response to his words. He knows it's not enough to, and the Bible is so clear about this in many places, right? It's not enough to just hear the words of God. We need to be doers of the word as well. We must respond. The gospel demands a response. And so it's like Jesus here in Matthew 7:13 and following is saying, I've shown you what it looks like to follow me. Now you must choose. Will you commit to being my disciple? Are you going to daily follow me as Lord or Lord and Savior, or are you going to instead follow the course of this world? And those are the two options he's giving them. Those are the two alternatives he's laying out. Verses 13 and 27 are going to make this point again and again that there's really only two choices. Follow Christ or follow the world. And today we want to consider the first picture. He lays out this several ways, two paths, two claims, two trees, two houses. Well, today we just want to consider the first picture, two paths. So that's why we're in verse 13. Our text will be verses 13 and 14. Let's read this together, or please follow along as I read, but I'd ask you to please stand in honor of God's word. May God be glorified as we read and seek to obey his word. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy, or I'll explain it really, spacious and broad is the idea there, that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. Verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard, or you could say confined, that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Please be seated. The title of the sermon today is Two Ways to Live. Again, here in verses 13 and 14, Jesus explains that there are only two ways to live. Jesus describes them as two paths or two roads. And each road has a gate or an entrance. Each road has a size or a quality to it. And each road has a final destination. And it's so important that we understand this truth, that there's only two roads, because we must choose the right road. Our eternal destiny depends on it. And even if you're here today and you're already a follower of Christ and you think, OK, well, I'm already on the right road by God's grace, and so I can kind of just tune out. No, we need to hear Jesus's words as well, because it's going to help us understand what this road is going to look like for us. What we can expect on this road, so that we're not caught unaware and surprised and disillusioned and fail to follow Christ faithfully. And so Jesus, it's an incredible picture here. Again, I know these verses are brief, perhaps they're familiar, but think of the reality behind these verses. Jesus is saying all of humanity, you know, if you could just kind of take all of humanity, even right now, every person alive, he's saying you can place them on one of two roads. It's incredible. Incredible image, incredible thought. He's saying it doesn't matter your country, your ethnicity, your education, or your wealth. Every person in this world, including me and you today, are on one of these two roads. Each person is living his or her life in one of two ways. There are only two ways to live. And in the middle of verse 13, Jesus describes the first way. Notice what he says. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. We could call this way number one. This is the way that doesn't follow Christ. Those who have not trusted in Jesus as Savior, those who are not following him as Lord. That's the way he's describing here. And notice this first road has a gate that is wide. Its entrance is big. It's easy to get on this road. No effort is required at all to enter this road. It's like you're already on the road. I mean, how many of you have been driving in a city when a city you're not familiar with, right? And you're trying to kind of figure out, navigate, maybe get somewhere. And the next thing you know, you've just kind of been funneled onto this major highway. And you're like, oh, no, I didn't mean to be on here, right? I mean, that's kind of the picture here. Is the entrance is wide. It's just you're just on this road effortlessly. That's how this road is. You never have to really make the choice to get on this road. Why? Because you're born on it. This is the path of sin. This is the way of sin. This is the way of living for yourself and not living for Christ. This is the way of not glorifying God, but rather seeking to please yourself, right? Acting like you're the center of the universe. This is what Ephesians 2 describes, 2 verse 2, as following the course of this world. That's way number one. Not following Christ, rather following the course of this world. And so the entrance is wide. In other words, it's easy because you don't have to leave anything behind. You can bring all of your sin and you can just keep going down this road. You can just keep following the values of this world, following the desire, the sinful desires of your flesh. It's easy. It's natural to be on this road. Notice Jesus says of road number one, not only is the gate wide, but again, the way is easy, or the idea is spacious or broad. That's the idea behind that word easy. Think about it. There's lots of people on this road, right? But it's so big. There's plenty of room. It's spacious. There's plenty of room for diversity of thought. There's plenty of room for permissiveness. You can just choose your religion. You can choose what you want to believe. You can choose your pursuits. You can choose your morality. Plenty of room to be on this road. In fact, there's so much room on this path that while you're on it, you think you're free. You have so much room to make your own rules and follow your own desires that this path often feels like freedom, even though the Bible explains that it's actually bondage to Satan and to sin. But probably everybody on that path doesn't realize that, right? Because, man, it's just so free and so permissive, and I can just kind of go with the flow. I don't have to do anything special to be on this road. I can just be myself. Notice something else about this path. Again, you have many companions traveling with you, right? Jesus said, those who enter by it are many. The gate is wide, the way is easy, and those who enter by it are many. There are tons of people on this road. Again, still plenty of room to pursue your desires, but the idea here is when you're on this road, it's easy for you to look around and say, wow, there's lots of other people on this road with me doing exactly what I'm doing. As you pursue the values of this world, you're always going to be able to see someone else, many people, as a matter of fact, who are doing the same thing. Their interests might vary a little bit, but they're living for themselves just like you're living for yourself. And so there's a comfort level to that, right? There's an ease to that. Wow, there's so many people like me who are pursuing pleasure, who are chasing the American dream. And so no one's going to give you much grief for being on this path because, again, you're just going with the flow. I mean, you're just following the stream of the world. No pressure there, no resistance there. But so many are on this road. They like it. It's convenient, right? It's easy. It's spacious. It accommodates their beliefs. It accommodates their lifestyle. But notice where this road leads. Again, in verse 13, Jesus says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Destruction, the destination of this broad road, of this spacious road is destruction. And that doesn't mean just physical death. Right? That's talking about eternal punishment. It's not only physical death. It's not certainly not some kind of soul annihilation. It's talking about eternal punishment. That's what the Bible speaks of when it talks about perishing or death or destruction. Eternal punishment, everlasting judgment. What a terrible destination. I mean, it's hard for us to even fathom it, even though the Bible speaks a lot about it. Matter of fact, Jesus speaks the most about it. He's talking about hell. He's talking about a place of outer darkness, of weeping and gnashing of teeth, of being separated forever from the loving presence of God. That's where this road is headed. And again, what a deceitful, evil thing, right? And that's exactly what Satan does, doesn't he? He says, yeah, come on down this road. It's easy. You can be yourself. You can pursue all this. You can live for your pleasures. You're like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're plunged into eternal destruction. Eternal punishment. What promised happiness ends in the worst kind of sorrow. What was pleasurable for a moment ends in eternal torment. So Jesus says all those people who are choosing to live for themselves, who are following their own desires, who are pursuing the values of this world, all those who did not worship God, who did not bow to His Son, they will find themselves spending eternity in hell. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. Psalm 1 describes the two ways of life, just like Jesus is laying out here. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And listen to how that psalm ends. Speaking of the way of the wicked. Psalm 1:5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Meaning they won't be able to make it through the judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's where that road leads. That's where this broad, big, easy road leads. It leads to hell. Ironic, isn't it? The world has this idea of some of all roads lead to heaven, right? Well, no, actually, it's pretty much the other way around. Most roads, all roads except the one that we'll consider next, lead to hell. And so that's the first way, the way of not following Christ, the way of saying, no, I'm going to suppress the truth that's been shown to me through creation. I'm certainly not going to try to worship God. I'm not going to seek Him. I'm not going to bow the knee to Christ. That's the first way. But then in verse 14, Jesus describes a second way. And this is the way of following Christ. This is the way of being a disciple. This is what it means to be a Christian. Right? That's what Jesus has been teaching throughout the Sermon on the Mount. You want to follow me? You want to become a Christian? That means forsaking your sin, trusting in Christ alone for your salvation, and following Him as Lord. So that's the way He's describing here. Those who have trusted in Christ, those who are seeking to live for Him in obedience and worship. Look at verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard, or we could say confined, that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Well, let's kind of do a contrast here, right? We saw the different components of the first way, and Jesus lays out the same type of categories for this way here, right? Yeah, the first gate was wide, right? But what does He say about this way? This gate is narrow. What does that mean? Again, this is the entrance, right? How do you get on this road? How do you enter into the kingdom of God? Well, it's a very narrow gate. That means it's exclusive. It's as narrow as faith in Christ. Because he is the one true Savior. He is the one true King. And so it's only through faith in him as Savior and Lord that you enter onto this into this road and enter into the kingdom of God. See, that's narrow, right? Remember, the broad road was like, hey, believe whatever you want. You know, you want to follow this religion or that religion, that's fine. But no, Jesus says this road is narrow. Jesus is the gate. Right? It says the gate is narrow. Jesus said in John 10, when he's talking about using the picture of being a shepherd and his sheep, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So you see, this road is, this gate is narrow. God has set the terms. He has said Jesus is the only way to heaven. And this is not a popular message today, right? Again, this flies in the face of the course of the world, the philosophy of the world. Our world thinks there are many ways to God, but God in his word said that Jesus is the only way for salvation. Jesus says that himself, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The apostle Peter proclaimed in Acts 4:12, there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The gate is narrow. It's exclusive. It's trusting in Christ alone as Savior, following Christ alone as Lord. So that's the gate. That's the entrance. Well, what's this road like? How is it described? Verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard. That word translated hard comes from a Greek root that means to groan. And the idea is groaning under pressure. And that's why when you're contrasting these two, it's, the picture is kind of one that's confined. There's daily pressures on this road. The other one was spacious and just do whatever you want. But no, this is confined. The broad road was spacious enough to accommodate you and accommodate your sin. That's really the idea he's getting at here. But no, this road is confined. And so to travel down this road, you can't be carrying all the baggage of your sin. It's not, I still want to live for myself, but yeah, I don't really want to go to hell, so I'll say a prayer and trust in Jesus, but I'm still going to live for myself. No, you're not on the road then. You're not on the road. It's not about just saying a prayer. It's about forsaking your sin and living for Christ alone. And that's what he's saying. This way is the gate is exclusive and the way is confined. You have to leave your sin. You have to cast down your idols and follow Christ. Spurgeon said, you and your sins must separate or you and your God cannot come together. You and your sins must separate or you and your God cannot come together. So this way is confined. The following Christ is confined. You have to continually forsake your sin. Right. Initially, you forsake your sin to trust in Christ and enter into life. But then all along the way, you're continuing to battle your flesh and forsake your sin. We should be repenting every day. And this way is confined. It is hard. It is marked by hardship. Jesus said it would be. John 16:33, in this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So this way is hard. Why? Well, because you're swimming upstream now. You're no longer just going with the flow. Now you've been called out of this world, but you're still living in the world for now. We're in the world, but not of the world, right? And so it's hard. It's challenging. Persecution comes. Obedience is hard. Again, we're daily battling our flesh. God gives us the resources, but it's a struggle, isn't it? The Bible elsewhere, Jesus describes it as striving to enter the kingdom of God, agonizing to pursue the prize that's set before us. It's a struggle. It's easy to just gratify your flesh. But to sow to the Spirit and to resist the sinful desires is a struggle, isn't it? It's hard. And so this path is marked by struggle. It's marked by obedience. Now, again, obeying God is not what gets you on the road. Okay? So we're not talking about a work salvation. But by struggling and obeying God and following Christ and repenting of sin, that's evidence that you are on the road. That you are on path number two. That's the fruit. And Jesus later in the Sermon on the Mount is going to use that kind of language. You can tell where you are, what road you're on, by your fruit. So this road is hard. We need to be struggling. We need to be agonizing. God willing, we can see fruit in our life. We can see evidence of that struggle. Yes, we fail many times. And we get frustrated with our failures. But by God's grace, we have a growing love for God. We have a hatred of sin. We want to follow Christ. We want to bring glory to God. We want to put to death our flesh. And that's why, again, we're constantly asking Him for help. We're seeking Him for grace to do that. And so this road is hard. And I want to get that point across because Jesus does. Now, but there's a balance, right? Don't misunderstand me. There's joy on this road. There's joy in following Christ. Real joy. We sang about that, didn't we? There are blessings in this life now of following Christ. Remember what Jesus said when Peter's like, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. And he said, basically, everyone who's forsaken sister and brother and mother and father and all that to follow me, they're going to receive 10 times that, both in this life and the life to come. So there is real blessings and joy even in this life. Peace with God, joy, the joy of sins forgiven, sweet fellowship with Christ and with His body. But even with all those blessings, the road is still hard. And that's the contrast, right? The broad road is easy, no pressure. Just be who you are, go with the flow. But the second road is hard because you're going against the grain. You're swimming upstream, which that leads me to another contrast that Jesus makes, right? And that's the companions. Remember how many were on the first road? Many, right? I said the word. There were many on that first road. Well, what does Jesus say about this road? What does He say about the path of following Christ? Look at verse 14. What does it say? For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Not many, but few. Think about that. There are not many people on this road. So if you're going to follow Christ, your companions are going to be few. Now, again, praise God for the church, right? Praise God for giving us a body of believers who can encourage us, who run this race with us. And so we enjoy that sweet fellowship. But when we're out in the world, we're the minority, aren't we? And it's always going to be that way. Yes, praise God. His grace is wide. His love is deep. And He is saving people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And Revelation says that around the throne, there's going to be a number that no one can count. So many people have been saved. Praise God. But at every point in history, Christians are going to be the minority. And so those who are on this road are few. And so we need to know that. We need to expect that. If you go on this second road, if you commit to following Christ, you're going to be in the minority.
Now, why would there be few on this road? What makes it few? Well, I think we can see some clues even from this verse. There are few on this road because it's not an obvious way to go. Notice that those who find it are few. This way needs to be found. The narrow gate needs to be found. You don't, again, remember the contrast? The broad path, you're just kind of on it and you didn't even really try and you're on it. But no, this way requires intentionality. It requires a change. It requires finding something and striving to enter into something. No one drifts into following Christ by chance. You're not going to come upon this on your own. You need the Spirit of God working in you. You need the Word of God to proclaim to you the good news of Jesus Christ. So you need to understand the gospel. You need to understand with all those verses I read earlier that Jesus is the only way for sinners to be made right with God, that He is the one true living sovereign Savior, Lord. Another reason this way is few, or there's few on this way is, again, look at how the ways were described. This way is hard. The cost is great. I mean, this is committing your life to Christ. You know, Jesus doesn't do a bait and switch, right? He's not like a free trial and then I'm going to sneak in the bill on you later. No, I mean, He lays it out that the demands of discipleship. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So daily you're going to have to deny yourself, die to self, follow Christ. It's a lifelong commitment. And it's a daily denial, a daily putting to death of your sin. So that for some, the cost is just too great. Think of the rich young ruler, right? Came to Christ, when Jesus was here on earth ministering, he actually came in contact with this rich young ruler, right? And there was something about, you know, he had some interest in God and he knew the Word of God but he wanted to know how to enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus basically told him, you got to forsake all your idols. Right? You got to give up your life and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad. Right? The cost was too much for him. He wanted to hold on to his stuff. He wanted to hold on to being Lord of his life. And so for many, the cost is just too great. And so that's why the ways there's few on this way. The broad road, no, it requires nothing of you, right? You can be on that, keep your sin, keep your selfishness. But the narrow road requires you a change, that you live for Christ. And so it takes courage, doesn't it? Because it's going to bring persecution, because now you're going against the ways of the world. And by claiming that Christ is the only way to God, you're viewed as being hateful now. Right. Not just arrogant, but actually hateful is what the world says. And so persecution comes. And so there's not many people on this road, or some who thought it sounded good, don't want to really be on the road once the cost gets too high. So just know, if you go on this road, your companions will be few. Your companions will be sweet. Don't we have some sweet companions here? Praise God. But know that your companions will be few. Young people, when you go off into college, if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to be in the minority, right? When you go out into the workplace, if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to be in the minority. You need to know that. Expect it. God is with you. He will help you stay true to Christ. Yes, the way is hard, but God will help us every step of the way. And yes, the way will be hard But here's what Jesus says, it will be worth it. And that brings me to the destination. Verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. It leads to life. The broad road led to destruction, but the narrow road leads to life, eternal life, fullness of life, fellowship with God. It leads to God himself. Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? The Lord is my portion, he said. Yes, the road will be hard now, but those who commit to life on the narrow road are promised eternal satisfaction, unspeakable joy with Jesus forever in heaven. In the new heavens, a new earth, dwelling with God forever in a place of no more crying, no more pain, no more death. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. J.C. Ryle said, Surely it will be better to enter eternal life with a few than go to destruction with a great company. Right? To enter eternal life with a few rather than to go to destruction with a great company. And so there Jesus has described the two ways. And remember, where are we at in the Sermon on the Mount? He's calling for a response. So at this point in the sermon, from verse 13 on, every one of the original hearers and those here today who are hearing the word of God, we find ourselves at a fork in the road. Will we commit to Jesus or not? Will we follow Christ or not? Are we committed to being a disciple of Jesus? Do we want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? And if you do, Jesus says, you got to enter by the narrow gate, right? Did you notice I skipped a few words there in verse 13? I'm coming back to him now. How does he start in verse 13? Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus says. This is a command. He's commanding people to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is good news. And it is good news, but it's also a command. The gospel is saying that Jesus is Savior, and it's saying he is King. And so it's saying, bow to him. Bow to him or face his judgment in the end. Forsake your sin now. Come to him by faith, and he forgives. That's the good news. He welcomes you into his kingdom. He's a loving and faithful King. But bow to him. Bow to him. And so the gospel is a command. Forsake your sin. Embrace Jesus as by faith as Lord and Savior. And so Jesus is saying, enter by the narrow road. Remember, but the default is you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And so Jesus is saying, I'm showing you where the gate is. Now enter it. Believe. Forsake your sin. Remember, you can't bring your sin with you through the gate. Forsake your sin. Trust in Christ alone. Give up living for yourself and live for Christ. This requires a commitment. This requires a decision. This is something each person must do. I think it was MacArthur described it, you know, like those turnstiles, you know, when you're at Six Flags or wherever, I don't know, you know, and you get funneled through. And I mean, you can't fit two people through it at one time, right? It's you got to go through it yourself. You don't enter into the kingdom of God on the faith of your parents. You don't enter into the kingdom of God on the faith of your spouse. No, you got to enter on your own. Personally embracing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so Jesus has shown us the two ways in life. He's shown us these two roads. He's described them for us so we know what they're like. And he's shown us where each road leads. And so he's calling us to enter the narrow road. It's like if you read Deuteronomy, at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses sets out. He says, I've explained to you as you enter into the promised land, I've explained to you what God requires.
I've explained to you that the blessings, the curses, and so I set before you life and death, he says to the people. He says, choose. You must choose. I've set before you. Following God leads to blessing, eternal blessing. But living for yourself leads to curse, eternal destruction. So choose, Moses said. Jesus is saying the same thing. And I'm trying to say the same thing to you today. You must choose, each one of you. What road do you want to be on? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to spend eternity? You must choose. And the Bible says, man, when the good news is proclaimed to you like this, when you're shown that Christ is the only way to be made right with God, to be with God forever, the Bible warns us, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart when you're given this choice. Again, to not choose Christ is making a choice, isn't it? You're saying, I just want to stay on this broad road. And the Bible says that's hardening your heart. And so what's going to happen is the next time you hear, the next time you're presented with this choice, it's going to be that much easier for you to just say, no, not worth it to me. I'm going to stay on this road. 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 And at some point, God says, okay, I'm going to leave you to your own hard heart. So don't harden the heart. Don't resist the Spirit if you hear him tugging at your heart today. Enter through the narrow gate. Give up living for yourself. Oh, again, young person, my heart goes out to you. I love you guys. My kids are your age. Make sure you follow Christ. Make sure you're on the road. Jesus has given us two roads. He says, choose life. Come to Christ. Cry out to God for mercy. Yes, the way will be hard, but you have the sure promise of God. He will save you now, and he'll be with you all the way to glory. And Christian, stay on the path. Praise God, he gives us grace to persevere, but we're called to run, to strive. I know it gets hard. I know it gets tiring being in the minority, doesn't it? I know it gets discouraging when you see the world just passing law after law that goes against your values because you're trying to value the things God values. I know that's tiring, but we should expect it, right? We're in the minority. We're the few. But stay with it. Draw near to God. Remember, what has Jesus been teaching us? Cling to Christ. Seek God. Knock and say, God, I need your grace today to live for you. I need your strength to go into that workplace and be a man of integrity and to speak up for Christ. And when someone, you know, thinks I'm being closed-minded or arrogant or hateful, I need grace to know how to speak the truth and love to them. I need courage. I need courage to stand up for Christ. Seek the Father. He gives it abundantly. He pours out that grace. So stay on the path, Christian. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And he'll be with us all along the way. He'll welcome us into glory. And we'll know it was worth it. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we just cry out to you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for Jesus laying out these two paths for us so clearly today. And I pray that you will open the eyes of those, Lord, who are still on the broad path that leads to destruction. Oh, God, open their eyes. Help them see that they're living for themselves. And show them, Lord, show them what the final destination is. Show them where that path is headed. Show them that they're headed for hell. Oh God, by your Spirit, shine a light on the narrow gate today.
pour out your grace into hearts and give life and faith that many would enter onto this road today through faith in Christ. Father, help us who as believers to encourage one another along the path. Help us to seek you daily for grace and strength. To forsake our sin, to follow Christ, to obey you and bring glory to you. Thank you for the blessings now, and thank you so much for the promised blessings to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord now in song.